Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Citizen Voice Project. This is the Charity Spotlight series. We are featured today is My Hope Chest. It is a fantastic national organization that helps women who survive breast cancer and may not be able to afford breast reconstruction surgery. And they work together with some amazing doctors and some generous donors and get the ladies to get their medical procedures done that they might not be able to. My guest today is Lisa Savaretti. She's an amazing woman, a breast cancer survivor as well. And she saw the need for the ladies that didn't have insurance that would cover this procedure, and she started an organization and has dedicated her life since 2003. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. This is terrific.
You're welcome. What I'd like to do is give our listeners some background on your story and let them know how My Hope Chest was founded and what you're doing today.
Okay, great. Something I do know a little bit about. And first, I just want to say thank you for starting this Charity Spotlight series. It's just a wonderful way, you know, to continue to share what good news is happening within our communities. And I know you're working really, really hard, so I want to give a shout out to you, Karina, for putting this all together. Yes, you're welcome. My Hope Chest. We are in Tampa Bay since 2010. We are now a 12-year-old organization, and the charity originally began, it sincerely began conceptually here in 2002 when I was going through my breast cancer treatment, but officially started in 2003 when we became a Nevada 501c3 corporation, and the charity was based out of Las Vegas. The reason the charity began, if people haven't yet gone to myhopechest.org, is through, you know, just like the beginning of many organizations, through my own, you know, situation when in 2002 I found a lump in my breast while I was working on an internet business and ended up, you know, as an uninsured individual starting at the health department, where, you know, everyone should know to go that if you do not have insurance, even though the government is mandating we must have insurance, there are still thousands that, you know, are not yet participating. So you begin at the health department, and that's where I started. And although I did not qualify for Medicaid back in 2002, I was able to get help through Pinellas County Social Services that paid for my mastectomy and the 8 rounds of chemo that followed. However, during my treatment, you know, that's where I discovered that that's kind of where the buck stopped.
Right.
I started calling locally, you know, American Cancer Society, the typical supporters of breast cancer, Susan G. Komen, and there was no funding or program in place to help an uninsured woman get her reconstructive surgery. I continued to look then, you know, throughout the hospital systems and Moffitt and all of these, and still really nothing, unless you start with these hospitals where they do have some funding. Some of them are foundations. You know, it's not, delayed reconstructive surgery is not an option. So I started to look nationally to say, okay, well, if there's no help locally here for this, there's got to be another organization somewhere in our country that has some funding to help me. And, you know, I found nothing. And I was just so disheartened and stressed and, you know, going through my chemo and like, oh my goodness, I'm in my 30s and I'm missing one breast. And basically from there, I end up having to go back to work, as we all do after, you know, cancer, God forbid, it hits anyone's life. It's hopefully just a chapter in their book of life and not defining their life. And I was lucky that it was, you know, just that. But I ended up having to go back to work because I had actually borrowed about $60,000 to start a business, that business that I was working on, which was Retro Home e-commerce business, and that debt didn't go away. So even though I wasn't ready to go back to work and I was still trying to figure out how I got my reconstruction, I flew back to Las Vegas. My former profession, you probably know by now, is I was an entertainer and a Las Vegas showgirl. And 5 months post-chemo in March of 2003, I flew to Las Vegas and landed and ended up going back on stage. And in 6 days, I was doing 2 shows a night, 6 nights a week, minus my breath. And yeah,
right.
It was pretty devastating. I kind of gave a tongue-in-cheek, you know, approach. I called myself the lopsided showgirl because I knew I could make fun of me. And, you know, the media would get a hold of a story like that. Entertainment is obviously news in Las Vegas. But that's how the charity began, through the help of a women's group. They listened to my story and believed also that I wasn't the only person in this predicament, most likely. And we filed, and in 6 weeks we became a 501c3 in December of 2003. So that's kind of the origin of how my Hope Chest began.
Well, and what I'm sure that most of our listeners will recognize, I mean, surviving breast cancer alone is a huge feat. But then it seems like that's where the medical industry stops. They don't recognize what our breasts mean to us as women, you know, self-esteem and that kind of thing. They're like, oh, you're healthy, go away. And you know, mentally and psychologically, it's very important to recognize that that's an entire procedure. And then most of the national organizations, like you mentioned, they don't actually focus on that. So my Hope Chest is unique in that way.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, the first problem is people are not aware there's a problem. And that's why, you know, my Hope Chest has kind of been flying in the shadows of these bigger breast cancer organizations, because the general public doesn't have any idea that women have fallen through the cracks. Some people don't, you know, get reconstruction. There's several reasons women don't get reconstruction at time of mastectomy. One, they are uninsured or underinsured and they don't have their copay. Two, they don't want to start reconstruction. They want to take care of their cancer treatment, chemo, radiation, what have you. Three, you know, they're uninsured. They want to start reconstruction, but they don't have the funds. So those are the typical reasons that a woman ends up needing a delayed reconstructive surgery. And the largest breast cancer organizations in the country, Avon is one. They have a foundation. Mary Kay has a foundation. Their focus is on research, education, and awareness of the disease. And, you know, I think it's safe to say in 2015 that the awareness arm of any charitable organization in our country with regards to what is breast cancer is kind of a moot point. It's why my Hope Chest calls October Breast Cancer Action Month. And we are focused on the back end of treatment, which is making a woman whole again. That is our mission, to restore, transform, and complete the breast cancer journey, providing the final step of treatment, which is breast reconstruction. You know, in 1998, the Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act, back in 1998, mandated that insurance must pay for breast reconstructive surgery as a part of treatment. If the breast is removed to save your life, then part of treatment is to restore your breast after cancer. And that worked well and fine for most states of group policies. It didn't work in all states. I think 11 states somehow wiggled out of that. And individuals were, of course, individual policies were not covered with that. That is one plus that I personally am happy to see about the government health care, is that they have, you know, mandated that 20-year-old almost law now to apply to individual policies. So that's going to be a help right there. But, you know, I just like to kind of quickly share with your audience what reconstructive surgery is. It's actually, you know, a series of 3 surgeries that span about a year long. And the typical cost for a breast reconstructive surgery is about $25,000. at a cash pay because, you know, one is paying for a surgeon, an anesthesia doctor, and a facility three times. So that out-of-pocket, you know, fee is for most women, definitely all that come to my Hope Chest and apply to be clients. It's just not even a consideration. I mean, these women are you know, trying to survive like I was after cancer. Often, you know, after cancer, you're atypical no matter what the disease. You're, you know, depressed, trying to figure out life. How did this happen? Trying to catch up with your bills and all of those things. So, you know, having spare funds and worrying about reconstruction has got to be factored into the equation. But the good news is, you know, our program is set up to partner with surgeons, and we do here locally in Tampa Bay. Like I said, the charity relocated in 2010 and started really, for me personally, at year seven. It was year zero here. And really, through the grace of God and a lot of you know, caring people and companies, we started getting some traction. We were honored by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for pink NFL Monday Night Football, by the awesome. Tampa Bay Lightning. Yep, the community hero, which touched, you know, 20,000 people in an instant, knew about the organization. We've been on the cover of the Times and the Tribune. Lynn Hurtado has done stories on the news, ABC Action, as well as Allison Croft. So we've gotten some great publicity, which is creating more awareness about My Hope Chest in Tampa Bay. And that's really terrific. But now we really have to see, you know, the awareness turn into action. And I do want to also note that we help at home first. So My Hope Chest is the only national not-for-profit organization funding breast reconstructive surgery for uninsured and underinsured. But our focus is Tampa Bay locally. So I don't want, you know, sometimes listeners say, well, we only want to give to, you know, charities that help locally. We help locally first. And then right. If there's nobody in our area that has, you know, in need or qualified, then we continue on our list. And we've helped patients in North Carolina, in New Jersey, in New Orleans. We have surgeons, Las Vegas, New Mexico, Orlando. We have a new surgeon. Our local surgeon here is Dr. Antonio Gaioso, that's in St. Petersburg, is the director of plastic surgery at St. Anthony's and Bayfront for BayCare. And then we've just got a new microsurgeon partner, which is the big news, as well in Tampa, Dr. Raj Ambe. And we just did a surgery last Saturday at Florida Hospital Wesley Chapel for a patient who's been having some challenges for many years. She's been going through reconstruction. So that's some of the, you know, kind of the background. What is reconstruction? What's it cost? And a lot of our referrals, I guess I should also share, come from Susan G. Komen and from the American Cancer Society, because they recognize My Hope Chest nationally as a solution to this problem. However, we have not yet garnered any funding from these large, financially sound breast cancer organizations. And again, why we need more support here locally, you know, and nationally in fundraising and gifts.
Well, and I do want to mention, first of all, My Hope Chest is also participating in the Safety Harbor Downtown Business Alliance Charity Fundraising Challenge, and we're excited to have you guys on board. And I do want to mention the reasoning when you talk about finances. Before we selected 15 charities, and My Hope Chest was one of them, but we reviewed over 100 charities and looked into how much you dedicate your donations to your mission, and My Hope Chest was a rock star in that. So I do because of some lately, there's been some stories about charities that they spend about 80% on overhead, and you know, if or 90%, and people are donating to these charities, not understanding that the money isn't getting to where the mission, you know, should be. And My Hope Chest is phenomenal on that. So I do want to thank you for making that, you know, that you're dedicated to get the funding to where the funding is needed.
Well, you know what, and thank you for bringing that, you know, up, this charity challenge. We're excited to be a part of, you know, supporting the community of Safety Harbor and also participating in, you know, helping sell these loyalty cards that, you know, give them discounts at the shops, Safety Harbor, and you know, $10 of every card that is sold using our code, which I believe is N-MHC, will go to my hope chest. But yeah, you know, this is, you know, what would bring me to another point is the greatest thing and bit of help that can happen for our organization right now, especially at this juncture of the year, as we head to what we call season. October is Breast Cancer Action Month. Again, we don't call it Awareness Month because we believe everybody is aware of what's going on. But we're really trying to foster as many what we call third-party fundraising events where others are doing something on our behalf. We call it making money, you know, raising money in our sleep. Anything from, you know, corporate America doing a denim day at their offices. We've had people do motorcycle. The past couple of years, we had a gal doing a motorcycle ride for us up in Jacksonville. It can really be absolutely anything you want, and it's called Hope Floats for My Hope Chest. And so that's something that's really starting to take off these past couple of years, are more and more people, companies, individuals, and civic groups are starting to do fundraisers for my Hope Chest during October.
Well, that actually is another phenomenal point. You don't have to be a large organization. You can be, you know, a group of neighbors or a women's group, or even on your own, you can come up with an idea that, you know, might be a little bit outside the box, but every dollar matters. And raising funds for a charity, I have found, is very heartwarming. And plus, I get to meet great people like you, which is fun.
Oh, thank you. And likewise. Well, you know what? We're all on this blue ball together. I mean, this is
right.
Planet Earth, and we have to join hand in hand. You know, no matter what the charity, there isn't a bad charity out there if they're legitimate charities, whether it's children, animals, the environment. I just really encourage people to give at the grassroots level, you know, where the power of their dollar is going to have so much more of an impact on our mission. I'm not saying don't give to the larger organizations, but maybe they can consider splitting up that donation. Although I wouldn't be opposed, you know, for being the breast cancer charity of choice, I have to say, you know, my Hope Chest is doing really important work. We've identified a problem that is not being addressed in America. It's unbelievable. Women should not have to live without their breasts in the most heavily funded cause in our country. Breast cancer raises
right.
more money, Karina, than any other organization, children, animals, the environment, what have you. Breast cancer is the number one funded organization, but we really do have to redirect those dollars right now to help the survivors that are living now. We want to find
right.
research. We want to see the cure for breast cancer, just like anyone else. The happiest day for my Hope Chest is the day that we can close our doors, that our services are no longer needed. That goes across the board for, you know, there's enough food, there's enough water, there's enough clothing. Social service organizations exist because we pick up where the government leaves off in providing assist our communities. And that's why a 501c3 gets a tax break. I just want to speak to the point that you made about overhead. And I say this whenever I publicly speak. Individuals have to understand that a not-for-profit organization, social service organization, you know, not-for-profit's really a terrible name because the idea is to make a profit that we give back to our mission. In order to
right.
do that, we have to have staff. So we
right.
can't exist without it. And for donors to say, well, I'm not giving to one organization or another because they're putting money into overhead, is an incorrect theory. I guide people to something called a TED Talk. I don't know if you ever heard of TED Talks before?
Yes, I have, actually.
So there's a TED Talk by a gentleman named Dan Pallotta, and he speaks to this point about the misconception of the fact that charities, social service organizations, should not allocate any money to overhead. And I'm just going to leave it at that. It's a TED Talk. The man's name is Dan Pallotta, and P-A-L-L-O-T-T-A, and it's very eye-opening for people that don't realize that. So my hope is a very good steward of the donations that come to us, as are, honestly, 99.95%. Sometimes the media likes to report and focus on that 0.05%. That
right.
really gives charities like ours and other organizations a really even tougher job to raise funds, because we have to remind people and educate them that most charities are doing good work and most of them are honest. So they have to just really do their own homework, you know, go and see, make phone calls, and, you know, do your own homework to see where you're comfortable giving your money. But don't share stories of, you know, I encourage them not to share stories of all charities are just putting money into salaries, because it's so untrue.
What they should realize too is a lot of charities and founders, they spend so much of their own personal time and money, and they have to keep a roof over their head and food on the table and the power bill on too. So it's not selfish
job,
to right? expect to be yeah.
I would like to share, we have a couple of things going on right now, because I know we don't have, we have a little bit of time left. We have something that we're launching, a membership drive, which we've never done in the past. And it's on our Facebook page right now, and it's going out there. It's on our website as well in the news feed. It's called the Cups of Hope Summer Membership Drive. And, you know, what that is basically... charity's typically difficult business model that exists outside of the Girl
right.
Scouts that have the cookie and raised, you know, millions and millions all these years. My hope is we're still trying to figure out our cookie. But one of the ideas is you know, to create a membership drive, kind of like the PBS does and WEVU. So that's on our Facebook page. They can learn more about, you know, the membership drive. And it's through the summer. There's different levels. It starts at just $25 for an annual membership, you know, and you get things like a newsletter, and for a little higher donation, there's more, you know, items that you can get, T-shirts and crystal bracelets and some of the, you know, My Hope Chest fundraising items. So if they can take a look at that, that would be really, really great.
Let's give it one more time. It's myhopechest.org is your website. And on Twitter, you're at myhopechest. And on Facebook,
ma'am.
If you search for My Hope Chest, you will find their Facebook page as well. And on Citizen Voice Project, we're also helping to promote, today we're helping to promote you. And so if you want to go to Citizen Voice Project on Facebook or Twitter, you can find links to My Hope Chest as well.
Thank you. And we're sharing
and
back and forth.
The crystal bracelet is very pretty, by the way.
And that was handmade for us.
What is a visual on myhopechest.org that kind of wraps your head around the need is the map that you have, you know, your applicant wait list. And, you know, that's just a small sampling of how important it is and how many women that you, I believe you call them butterflies. I love that. That are waiting for services.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, you know, I can talk about My Hope Chest for hours, so I definitely want to focus in, you know, the sad state of affairs in our program to make women whole again is that there is a wait list. We simply don't have the funding yet and the manpower. I have to go speaking back to that, to set up surgeons in all of the states where we have applicants waiting. Recruiting surgeons takes months and months of time because, again, we have to negotiate with them to participate at a reduced or Medicaid rate, or they can join our program, which is called the Doctors of Distinction, where they donate 4 surgeries a year, and then we feature their practice on our website. So it takes months and months of time to recruit surgeons because they have to get their anesthesia doctor on time, their facility on time. And we are just this little charity, you know, like a little mosquito buzzing in their ear. So we are really, you know, disheartened by having a wait list. That said, it is our intention, and every breath we take is focused on eliminating that. I think we need about, I don't know, I think it's about 1.5 million right now, honestly, to be able to wipe out that wait list. And,
wow.
You know, we're the small grassroots organization, you know, trying to get traction and get to the next level. That said, brings me back to, you know, how people can help. You know, our third-party event, the Hope Floats for My Hope Chest, October has a day in it called Breast Reconstruction Awareness Day, Bra Day. And it was identified by the American Society of Plastic Surgeons a couple of years ago, basically to make people aware of the education about what is breast reconstruction and their options. So we have some marketing materials that we have produced if anybody needs that. We want to make sure we can get it in their hands, breast centers, doctors, social service organizations. But that's another day that folks could, you know, host an event on Bra Day. But I want to spotlight some of the supporters that we've had, you know, in our community. A couple, one of them, a big one, has been Ed Morris. Ed Morris Cadillac and Car Dealership. They created a campaign called the Drive for Hope. And what they do is in the month of October, for every car sold, they donate $100 to My Hope Chest. And
wow.
The first year they did it in 2013, we got a check in the month of October for $10,300. Last year,
wow,
they brought in their other four dealerships, and that $10,300 donation went up to $26,000. One company in 1 month. So,
right,
you know, I don't know where your listeners are coming from, whether they're, you know, working in corporate America, they might be survivors, husbands of survivors, but there is something that they can do, and there's just, you know, one example. Like I said, I gave you some of the others. The Hyatt is another great partner of us. Clearwater Beach Hyatt and the Grand Hyatt Tampa have supported My Hope Chest for the past couple of years. They've done bake sales and this and that, and they've raised several thousand dollars for us. And that continues to grow year after year. Another area that
and that was the concept that when I was developing the charity fundraising challenge for Safety Harbor Downtown Business Alliance, was bringing small business owners and empowering them to be able to reach out into the charity community as a team. And, you know, oftentimes small business owners, they're you know, just barely hanging on. And for them to offer a discount and for us to be able to compile that into a loyalty card where, you know, somebody can spend the money for the loyalty card, you know that, you know, we're actually a listed as a public charity with the IRS and with the state of Florida as a not-for-profit corporation. So the money, the 100% of the proceeds will be going to charity. And so you get that loyalty card discount for an entire year. And you know that at least when you're wanting to support My Hope Chest, when you're voting in the challenge, you can not only vote for My Hope Chest, but you put in the promotional code, which on radio we have to, like, do it differently. It's N as in Nancy, dash M as in Mary, H, C as in Cat, 1. It's N-MHC1. And you can get the loyalty cards online at S as in Sam, HDBA.com. That's Safety Harbor Downtown Business Alliance.com. You can get the loyalty cards there. And definitely help spread the word. And I'm really enthusiastically going to promote everyone to, you know, check out myhopechest.org and make sure that you understand that you don't have to be a part of a big corporation. You can do it as an individual, or you can go to your business owner and say, hey, I want to do this. Can we have a day of fundraising? So every little bit counts. It does.
That's a great idea. That's right.
So, well, thank you so much for being on the show, and I really appreciate you taking your time away from you are such a busy woman.
We all are. You know, like yeah. I said, it takes a village to get this all done. And, you know, I just would like to wrap up that you know, my Hope Chest does believe that breast reconstructive surgery is the true transformation. That's why we refer it back to the butterfly. One of our, you know, T-shirts that we have says, just when the caterpillar thought her world was over, she became a butterfly. And we couldn't do it without, you know, to help with our community, individuals like you, Karina, and, you know, all individuals, because it's not just corporate America. But we're really grateful, and we have lots of opportunity for volunteering and potential board positions and things like that. So if you want, you know, want to get in touch with us, reach out to us at info@myhopechest.org through the website. But I just want to say thank you. Oh, I want to mention one more thing, if I could. We had our first walk last year called the Butterfly Glow Walk 5K Fun Run and Party. And it was amazing. It was on the beach at night with butterfly wings and glow-in-the-dark paint. And we had over 500 people come out to our first event. We're getting ready to start our sponsorship sales right now for that, sponsorship opportunities, because we've moved the Butterfly Glow Walk to the spring of 2016. So I want to make everyone available, you know, aware of that. It's super fun. You get your butterfly wings on, you put your butterfly team together, and anyway, they can reach back out to us again, you know, at info@myhopechest for some more information. But thank you so much for having me on. Really grateful, and showing my Hope Chest, you know, to our community. We're so grateful. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you for what you do. And once again, if you want to learn more about My Hope Chest, you can go to myhopechest.org and Citizen Voice Project on Facebook. We will be sharing links. We have shared links on our Facebook page. And do me a favor and check out Safety Harbor Downtown Business Alliance Charity Fundraising Challenge. You can find the Alliance on Facebook and Twitter. And our website, shdba.com. Thank you, honey, and I'll see you soon in the community.
Okay, sounds terrific. Thank you. Thank you so much. God
bless. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
We have an upcoming show. Our next show, and of course I do this without having right in front of me. We have a lot of great shows coming up this week. We have the Safety Harbor Museum and Cultural Arts Center that's coming up on Tuesday. And we have PACE Center for Girls is coming up this week. And the Florida Autism Center of Excellence, it's a charter school, a public partnership charter school in Hillsborough County, but they service the entire Tampa Bay area for families with children on the autism spectrum. So got a lot of great shows coming up this week. So follow Citizen Voice Project on Blog Talk Radio or find us on Facebook. That's Citizen Voice Project. Have a great day, everyone.